But I'll just give you a little introduction. So this is Tiana with Mind Body Movement Center. And you're the owner. And why don't you talk a little bit about what it is that you do and what about your center?
Sure.
Well, first, let me just say that I met Tiana, in 2015 at a kite boarding camp, right? It was 2015, I think. Yeah, so, yeah, quite a while ago, and I know that you used to teach yoga there, and but at that time, I think you were teaching yoga, and I think I was teaching yoga, so now here you have evolved into this center, and I'm so curious to hear, because I know that you're working full-time doing something else, like paperwork or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I cannot wait to hear your story and how you've come to this moment. So
sure.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Hey, hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
My name, the Mind Body Movement Center, kind of sounds like this big thing. it's just me. I'm a solopreneur. It's me in the practice. And my tagline is move your body, center your mind. So that kind of played into the name of the business. My professional life, I'm a holistic physical therapist and yoga therapist. Mm-hmm. And those values in that my professional life are also the values in my personal life. So they fit in really well. And my specialty now is really working with people with persistent pain.
Mm-hmm.
So helping them just thrive a little bit more, to feel like their pain isn't the only thing about them, and to really shift that perspective so that they're not just sitting with their pain every day, but they feel like they can resolve some of the suffering around it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
whether that
be... yoga, teaching it, and I read about your bio on your website. It's very interesting. You yourself, I think, dealt with chronic pain as well. If you want to talk about your personal story, that'd be great.
Sure.
I'd like to hear about your journey.
Okay, sure, we'll do. Let's see, how far back? what really kind of drove me into being a physical therapist in the first place was my chronic pain or persistent pain.
Okay.
So I started, I was just at a job where it was mostly desk work, computer work, answering phones, processing paperwork. And I was in pain all the time and just in a place of suffering. And so I started to look at what else was out there. And I went back to physical therapy because I had practiced in that as an assistant earlier out of college. And so that was kind of my journey into physical therapy. And I thought, oh, I'm going to be away from my job. You know, I won't have this pain anymore. But little did I know, it traveled with me, and, you know, I was almost in pain throughout my college or my undergrad, right? Not my undergrad, my graduate program of physical therapy.
Okay.
And yeah, I kept asking my professors and teachers, you know, what can I do? Nothing's helping. I was trying to understand the anatomy, and they would always just say, go back to the books, go back to the anatomy. And, clearly that wasn't my pathway.
Right.
So I started to look into more holistic or alternative methods. And I think one of my goals coming out of physical therapy was that I wanted to start to transition into more of a wellness kind of field. And yoga was on my target. So I think it was maybe 2009-ish, I started to look at what was out there, and I found a physical therapist that was teaching yoga therapy and certifying people in yoga therapy. And so I took that program, and that was, you know, still my pain was following me. I still had it. I hadn't quite gotten like what the trick for me was going to be getting out of that. And so I would just be uncomfortable most days, especially working with people. And there were so many days where I was like, I don't know if I can do this and go back in and help these people that are in pain when I myself is just like sitting there uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I went to this yoga therapy conference, the Symposium for Yoga Therapists, and that was 2011, I think. And that I just had an experience there that was literally 20 minutes. I always say, I don't know what the instructor was talking about. I know what she's talking about now because I know her. Mm-hmm. But at the moment, all I could remember was how I felt after that experience. We had gone through a guided imagery and I came out of it and I was in tears because I had gone in just feeling uncomfortable and all my pain. And I came out and I was like, what? I went up to her afterwards. I said, what was that? What did you do? Because I don't feel my pain right now. This is amazing. It was like 11, 14 years of pain. And then suddenly there's something that I was just, it gave me hope. I was like, oh, I'm not broken. I'm not, if I can heal and not feel that pain in just 20 minutes or just with this, you know, I got to learn more about this.
Right.
Yeah. So I kept learning about pain science and just dove into it. And so knowing, like, just coming from that experience, I have a lot of empathy for those that are in that place.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that that was just true for me, you know, it's not true for everybody that they're going to go in that same way. It's just right time, right place, right mind frame.
Mm-hmm.
Like they always say, when the teacher or when the student is ready, the teacher appears, and then vice versa.
Right.
So anyway, that's a short version of a longer trek.
So were you a physical therapist when I met you? That's what you were doing?
I was, yeah. Okay. I had been a PT since 2006. Yeah. Okay. So at the time when I met you and all that paperwork I was talking about, I was doing some per diem work in home health, and it wasn't meeting up to my values in terms of where I wanted to work for personally, you know, just within my body and time space and mental space. And yeah, so I don't do that anymore. I'm done.
That's good.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to hear, like, do you think everyone's experience with pain is different, or what is it, like a physical pain, or is it like pain with like mental anguish, or when you say chronic pain, what does that mean? Like for you, I guess.
Yeah. It's all of it, right? Yeah. Pain, when we have pain for a while and it becomes, you know, past the point of acute, like, okay, this is going to go away, I'm going to feel better. It starts to become self-limiting. You know, we start to close our social circles. So maybe you're not hanging out with the people that you used to, especially if it's regarding some physical activity, like a sport.
Mm-hmm.
So say like you know, with your surfing group or your surfing buddies, if you suddenly had pain that limited you from surfing, then you'd be cut off from that whole group of people. And so you start to get a little bit smaller and a little bit smaller in terms of your inner self and your strength and confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So it does become a mental anguish. And
so mental anguish, or do people feel like literally like pain in, like it could be like a knee pain or something that just always hurts?
Right. Absolutely. Everyone's going to deal with their pain differently, right? Depending on where they've come from in their past and how they learn to deal with pain from the people that raised them,
mm-hmm.
How they, you know, any memories or traumas and stuff that's surrounded by that pain and when it first started can affect how they're reacting now. So like I always use the instance of, I can remember, or I can imagine thinking, I can think about where I was at that workstation, and just thinking about it and picturing myself there, I can feel like my old stuff coming back. Like even right now, just talking about it, I can just feel like just tension in these areas.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's both physical and mental. So that's where the mind body connection comes in. I don't know that I've met anybody who's had persistent pain that's been completely okay, you know, just mentally, emotionally. That's always tied in.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have a lot of like conversations with people about you know, this belief that, you know, the physical pain, you know, is like the last thing. Like it's emotional pain that kind of surfaces, or, you know, lives in the physical sometimes. Maybe not always. Like obviously if you fall and break your leg, you know, that's a incident that happened, but like these mysterious things of like, where's just this pain coming from? So do you I know it's like a heavy topic, but like from what I believe and what a lot of, you know, like conversation that I've been having lately is that it does have a deeper source, whether that be trauma, like you said, from childhood or even before that, when we, you know, are so, we don't even have language yet. I just met with a therapist. She's a friend and she's also a shaman. And that's a lot of the work she does as well is, you know, these stages of life where we aren't even aware what happened and we're imprinted with this stuff. And she, you know, it's helped clearing that energy and clearing that energy and feeling it and letting it go and all that stuff. So is that related to kind of like what you have done in your practice, or is it a lot of more physical movement?
Yeah, it certainly comes up. It's not something I ignore. And, you know, in yoga therapy, we're looking at all different realms of a person, you know, their physical self, their energetic self or pranayama, their emotional state, and then their bliss body or their, you know, their spiritual sense. So we do touch on all of those, and any of the practices that could be physical, like breath practices or movement practices, can also affect the mind, right? Yeah. And vice versa.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about like energy from past stuff, there's a book called When the Body Says No by Dr. Gabor Mate. And he talks about that. And I like his, the way he explains it and his terminology, because, you know, some people can think that's kind of woo woo and, you know, believe that or not. Right. It's sort of like, it's a touchy.
Oh, there's so much resistance, especially from like trained doctors that are therapists and stuff like that. There's so much resistance to that. And, you know, if science can't prove it, it's like not true, which is annoying.
Right. I know. There's a
getting there.
Yeah. Where you want, you know, for things to be sort of brought into a Western mindset or to the general public, we have to have some evidence of, you know, in the science world that it actually works or that it's doing something. But, you know, as healers or as people that have experienced that, you know, in your own body that you can't explain what happened.
Yeah.
It can't be proven.
Right.
So we take a little bit of both and hopefully sometimes match in the middle somewhere.
Yeah.
But I like Dr. Gabor Mate's because he talks about, you know, when you have those experiences when you're younger, it actually changes your physiology in that moment. Mm-hmm. So that as you're growing up, you've got that physiology within your system. And so you might be more susceptible to certain disease processes. You might be more susceptible to how stress reacts with your body, you know, your neuroendocrine system. And so you might just be sort of primed for that when you're older.
Yeah.
So that's how he kind of talks about it, and not just like, oh, this energy is stuck in your body, but literally your physiology has changed because of the experiences that you've had.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it's a pretty cool way to think about it. And it kind of brings together those two minds of like these energy processes and mental emotional aspects, but also how science can fit in there and kind of explain some of it.
Because when a very like non-heady person, you know, I'm like, oh, it's just energy. You don't get it? And they're like, no, I don't get it. Like, what does that mean?
Right.
But that's for science.
You kind of have to know who you're working with too. Like I don't, when I'm working with people, if somebody, you know, kind of read them Ayurvedically in terms of their doshas and their pitta, kapha, or vata, and knowing like what people might want more science and evidence-based and things to read and versus those that might just be a little bit more like, you know, they can start to feel those, they're more intuitive and that sort of stuff. So you try to meet people where they are and not force things on them.
Right. So are you practicing Ayurveda? Do you use that in your practice?
It's what we learned it through our yoga therapy program. So I'm not a trained Ayurvedic specialist, and I won't claim that.
Yeah.
I will use those principles to work with people in ways that I know how to work with them.
Yeah.
More so on the doshas and the gunas and trying to create balance with wherever that person is in their life, but also what their constitution is.
Yeah. So how can, yoga, I feel like I know this in a way, you know, from my own practice, but how, can you describe how yoga therapy can heal physical and emotional pain? Or what would you guys do for somebody?
Sure.
Do you want like an example?
So I'll take the example of I'm working with I just started a workshop series last night with some lovely folks that are that have persistent pain, and they want to know how yoga therapy can help. So I started the evening with working with a breath practice, a centering practice, and just asking them to check in. So we know the nervous system responds and changes when we actually pay attention to it. Mm-hmm. So say you did a yoga pose or you did a breath practice, but then you just breezed past it, didn't even notice how you felt before or after. It doesn't really kind of register, right? It's sort of like learning a new language. If you just didn't keep practicing it and noticing and, you know, getting a response from the person that you're talking to, that wouldn't really get settled into your nervous system.
Yeah.
You could use it next time. So I'm all about checking in, you know, before and after poses. So we did some poses. I had them check in. Okay, how does your body feel now? Do you feel your sensations? I call it your stuff. Do you feel your stuff?
Yeah.
And then we did a pose or a breath practice. And then how do you feel now? Do you, you know, is there any shift in your awareness? And some people would say, yeah, I don't feel it. Or I feel more open. I can breathe a little bit better. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It's just that you're becoming aware.
Yeah, totally.
So that's part of it. And then part of it is education. And I took them through the kleshas and the veils of the things that keep us from, that keep us stuck. Mm-hmm. And those kleshas, you know, avidya, asmita, raga, dvesha, abhinivesha. I can describe those terms if you want, but
it's what just, are they called?
Kleshas. Kleshas.
That's something I don't think I've heard of, surprisingly.
It's from Patanjali.
Okay.
Yeah, the Yoga Sutras. So it's just a framework of looking at that. And, you know, for them, that language doesn't really mean anything. But we went through it and how it kind of can connect with our self of getting stuck in seeing things as permanent. So that's a big thing with pain. You know, you have it and you think, this is it. This is all I got. I'm not going to get better. But we know that everything is impermanent. So there's always an opportunity to change.
Mm-hmm.
Especially thinking about neuroplasticity and how the brain can change and the nervous system can change. And then, you know, in the overall picture, kind of having a sense that it's not just me. I'm not the only one that's experiencing this. You know, I'm part of a bigger world, a bigger picture. Mm-hmm. And so when you start to build that out, this small self that felt so isolated and, you know, just painful, mm-hmm. can start to open up and go, oh, this, you know, I'm not alone in this. And you can start to practice that by expressing gratitude, by keeping up with your practice of breath and movement and being mindful of, mm-hmm. believing in something bigger than yourself, whether it be God or Buddha or Allah or, you know, whatever it is, mm-hmm. something divine, connecting yourself with nature. And so those are just some ways that we talked about last night of getting out of your small self and expanding a little bit more. So, you know, I think when we feel more connected to our purpose and the people around us, then our pain doesn't become this overarching thing.
Yeah.
Like, I have something else to do on this planet other than, you know, stay small.
Yeah.
Anyway, that answers.
No, that's great.
That's just a snippet of how I might work with somebody in terms of a yoga therapy perspective on pain.
Yeah. That's amazing. It's, gosh, you make me want to do a therapeutic yoga training.
Definitely. I don't know. I think it's I don't know. It just depends on what your intentions are, you know,
for sure.
Start working with people on a broader spectrum,
personal level.
And, right. Yeah. Like you probably got into yoga probably for yourself.
Definitely. It was a changing point in my life. I wouldn't describe it as like pain. I wasn't in physical pain. But I was in repetitive patterns, mm-hmm. and, I felt like something was wrong with me. I think for a long, long time, I always tried to diagnose myself. I was always trying to convince myself of there being something wrong, you know, mentally, or, you know, I'm too this, or I'm too much that, I'm too much this, and trying to change, you know. And instead, I think yoga's taught me the art of acceptance and mindfulness, all that, the breath work. It's like a direct path to present moment. And that's where none of that, those stories exist, you know. And so, yeah, the breath work and the mindfulness can help, for me, alleviate, you know, the chatter in my mind that, you know, can feel so, so small and limiting and, you know, negative, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, we can describe it and we can, there's so many like tools, but, yeah, the breath work and just being, mindful is, I think, just so powerful. And I've worked with like visualization, similar thing where, you know, imagining your energy going down helps with grounding, and just pulling that energy down from all up here and into your body helps you feel more, helps you feel like, you know, your physical body and what the sensations. It's amazing. So I very much like to share that as well for people, because it's free and it's like you can do it anytime. And
right.
Yeah, I think when I hear physical pain, I just, or a chronic pain, I just always think they physically, but from talking to you, it's like, it's got to be more than that. It's got to be, in the way that they're probably describing it as physical pain, but maybe it's emotion, I don't know, maybe it's just the energy in their body they're not used to feeling. I don't know what that felt. I can't like feel it for them. I don't really know what that feels like for right. them, but.
Right. And that's the thing about pain. It's invisible. You can't yeah. feel what your pain would be like. You can't feel what mine would be like.
Right.
We can share that together. We can share that we've both experienced pain and
yeah.
we continue to experience pain over our human life.
Right.
That will not go away. But yeah.
Yeah. And that's important too, is like accepting my pain. I didn't like I tried to, I think, change it or something was wrong with me because I had pain. I would say mine's more of a mental pain or a mm-hmm. emotional pain, but, you know, that acceptance of it, that it's not going to go away, like, and that's okay. Cause there is lightness and heaviness and it comes and goes and it's just energy and it's not, you know, it doesn't have to be this big thing, has been, just life changing, I think too.
Yeah, I want to share that with people, right? Because you know it's helped you so much, and
yeah,
we hope that we can share that or with people that are open to it and wanting that.
Right.
But it's interesting that you talk about more kind of mental, emotional pain, and then the realms of like physical pain too. There's some evidence to show that mindfulness or just being in the present moment is really, that's what mindfulness is, right? Mm-hmm. Bringing you out of external thoughts or internal thoughts or your yeah. sensations in your body, to bring you into the present moment. Actually, that practice, I think it's in it, I can't remember exactly, but it takes, on functional MRI, they'll show that there's decreased activity in the amygdala. So, you know, the amygdala is that sense of, fear and, heightened hypersensitivity. Yeah. Yeah, so your limbic system, and actually will help your hippocampus function a little bit better. So your hippocampus is where you bring memories in and store memory. So if you're always in that fight or flight fear center, that sort of lizard brain of the amygdala, then it's hard to create that present moment. You're always like looking out for what's, you know, what's happened in the past, what's happened in the, what's right. going to happen in the future.
Trying to predict it and, you know, make the best or analyze it.
Right, yeah. Right. Your mind can go a million different ways.
Yeah.
Right? But every time you have that present moment of just like, I think of it, it's like this vortex. It's just like brings you back to the center.
Yeah.
Then we know that has effects in our brain and why that's happening and why that's beneficial. The more that you can do that and have that practice, that tapas, the more you're strengthening that neural system, whether it be mental, emotional stuff or physical stuff, I think it all works similarly.
Yeah. Can you talk about just real quick, like where you said that you felt finally like relief. Was that when you moved full time into the center, or when was your moment of, I guess, relief that you discussed or that you wrote about on your page?
For my physical stuff, my physical and mental
thing. Whatever it is.
Yeah, all connected. Let's see. I was a physical therapist since 2006. I kind of started breaking off from a traditional PT in 2010. Mm-hmm. I've had pain, like I'm just still having pain this whole time. 2011 was my kind of moment of opening, right? My enlightenment opening, mm-hmm. at least for that moment. And then I'm still, you know, I think I broke off completely in 2012. So that's when I've been doing my own business, mm-hmm. you know, full time. And I will say, I still have my stuff. I still call it my stuff. I still have my sensations, you know, they come up, they come down, they're ebbing and flowing, just like you mentioned with your thoughts kind of coming and going, you know, am I good enough? Is this what I'm, you know, am I doing the right thing? So it's the same thing with my pain. It's kind of comes and goes, and I'm just not as scared about it anymore. Not as scared about it. So it's like, it's kind of realizing, okay, it's here now, but it might not be here later. And I know I can do some things to make it go away. And so,
live with it for that moment that it's there, that it might be okay.
And just welcoming it. And I know it's what brought me to do the work that I'm doing now. So I guess I'm grateful for the pathway.
Yeah.
It's hard to see it when you're in the moment. It's frustrating, but, so, you know, even though I'm in my own practice now, my mind, body, movement center, I still experience all the stuff that I was experiencing. Not like it suddenly like went away.
Right.
It's not taking me down. It's not, you know, this overhanging like cloud. It's just like, oh, that's an experience that I'm having, you know?
Right. Totally. And can you see like, some results in your clients and, a little bit about their stories, like, you know, with doctors and prescription medications and stuff. Have you seen like any cases where like maybe they've got off prescription meds or anything like that?
Absolutely. I think, you know, when people go to Western medicine, and, you know, they're seeking help from doctors, it can be scary, some of the words that they use. And so that is, I think, the biggest challenge that I have with people coming in to work with me is that they've heard or they've seen their MRIs or their x-rays and the doctors told them you need surgery or you're never going to get better.
Like back pain or something like that?
Yeah, back pain, neck pain. It can even be knee pain. I have a patient who just had ACL surgery and she's kind of going through that with her her physician's assistant and kind of just hearing this negativity like, oh, you're stuck now. And I don't know, it's just like, so, you know, that's kind of the first hurdle is to start to shift their perspective about their bodies and to feel safe again.
Yeah.
And so once they feel that, then they're, you know, most of them will start to at least get an idea like, oh, you know, I don't want to be on these medications anymore. I'd like to start carving out, you know, at least one of these that I've been taking. And so, there is some shift away from medications. I'm not opposed to people using them. I'm not like, oh, you must not stop, you know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it might just be getting them past a hurdle. It might just be giving them some sense where they can be calm in the moment or, you know, so I'm not going to take that away. If that's something that they want to do, then certainly.
Most definitely.
And I love, my favorite thing is when you hear the language coming from them, they start talking about, you know, mindfulness or, I don't know, I just had this one patient who was forever, I just seeing him for a long time and he went to a mindfulness meditation retreat, kind of got him into that. I had him starting reading Jon Kabat-Zinn's book and then he finally went to a retreat and he came back like just talking like a yogi and So I don't know, I just was so touched by that transformation that happened. And it didn't, you know, I just planted the seeds. Like, he took the reins and went for it.
Yeah.
He was the one that, you know, decided to take in all that information and make it what he could out of it. And so I just love hearing that's my favorite.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. My dog was like going nuts for a second. So he's so distracting. So are you based out of California, right?
Yeah, I'm in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Okay.
Little city called Alameda that's just across the bay.
And you have a little office building or something that people come to?
Yeah, I just have a small office space. I do see some clients there. I also have a small subset population that I go to independent living community for seniors. And so I see some folks there like in their 80s and 90s, mostly working with mobility stuff, but also I help, you know, just my holistic side comes in and I help them where I see that, you know, whether they're sad or, you know, it can be life-changing, you know, heading into a senior living community where you're away from your friends and family. And so I kind of help them in that way. I'm just trying to create that gratitude and, you know, just little snippets, breathing practices and stuff like that. And then I also see people via telehealth. So kind of in this situation where I'd be talking to you over video and watching people move and breathe and giving them guidance and coaching. So
that's awesome. So people can contact you from afar. You don't have to be in California. They can.
Technically, they have to be in California, but they could be anywhere in California.
Okay, okay.
It's just the regulations right now. That person has to be literally in California physically.
For physical therapy?
Right. Yeah, but if I was doing like coaching or yoga therapy and I wasn't like with my PT hat, which is hard to separate, then I could technically see them or, you know, wherever they are.
Yeah.
Like I have some coaching programs where I help people through like digestive issues, women's health issues, like hormonal balance and stuff like that. So
awesome.
I help them with like creating a nutrition program or carving out things in their life that are, you know, maybe causing some of these symptoms and trying to find balance. So that's just another way that I work with people.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's a great thing to share for sure. A lot of people I think would find that beneficial, the hormonal stuff for sure. I know there was a point in my life I'm like taking hormonal teas. I'm like anything like I could do. I'm like, but you know, through yoga, I guess it would be considered yoga therapy, has really been, you know, the magic pill in my way. But, what else do I have? So thank you so much for chatting. I don't, have, it's about a half hour. So yeah, this thing turns off, I think at like 45 minutes, but do you have anything else you want to share? Or, do you have testimonials or anything from people that are on your website?
I do. Yeah. I posted some of them there. I have also my Google page and my Yelp page where people have responded.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to, you know, I always offer that as an option for people to leave reviews after their session. So I have a little email that goes out automatically. And I know for some, you know, it's they want to be anonymous or they don't want their name out there. I mean, you know, Google kind of associates your name and then people can perhaps find out about you. So I completely understand that people don't want to, you know, have their name out there.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's just so cool to like be able to, you know, I think with numbers, like, you know, all these people have experienced similar feelings as you and you can get through this. And I think it's just so hopeful to have other people's experiences that are positive.
Right.
Give people hope for sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's the big thing for me. Like that experience that I had, literally that's the word I think about is hope. It's, mm-hmm. because I, for so many years, I just thought I was broken. Like, why is, you know, nobody knows what's wrong with me. This doctor wants to give me an x-ray. I'm like, I don't want the x-ray. I don't think that's it. You know, and so you just start to go around life just feeling like, ugh, nobody knows what's wrong with me.
Yeah.
Nobody can fix what's going on.
So is that related to, what do they call it? What do they say when somebody has chronic pain and they can't find really like a cause? Don't they call it,
like idiopathic or something?
No, there's a diagnosis. I thought that they,
like fibromyalgia.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that, something that can have you worked with someone with that where you could, I don't know if you're allowed to say that, but can that help for people with fibromyalgia?
Absolutely. Any kind of pain, any kind of mental, emotional, physical pain. I think any of these things can apply. And that's why these practices can be so helpful, because they're broad. They're specific, but they're broad. That makes sense. They can reach so many different states of being.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's the athlete that, you know, is injured and off the playing field for several months, right? That could be really challenging for that person who, that's everything for them. Or, you know, somebody who's got fibromyalgia that can no longer work anymore. I mean, it's a broad spectrum.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, and I think, you know, with my fibromyalgia, that it used to be this sort of overarching, like, oh, we don't know what's wrong with you. Let's stamp you with that diagnosis. And I think they're showing some evidence that they're, I can't remember exactly, but I think there's some inflammatory thing that they can mark and start to diagnose people with that. It's sort of like a polymyalgia or myositis, kind of like an inflammation of the muscular component.
Okay.
So there is some validity to that stuff, but I'm seeing that diagnosis a little bit less than I used to.
Okay.
In terms of, you know, doctors just automatically, we don't know what's wrong with you, let's give you this diagnosis.
Yeah, it was a big thing, I feel like.
Yeah. So to answer your question, it doesn't matter what kind of pain that you're feeling, these kind of practices can be helpful. And that's why I talk to people like about, you know, I'm not going to give you one yoga pose that's going to cure your pain. I'm not going to give you one breath practice that's going to, you know, stop all your pain forever.
Right.
And like we just talked about, this process of like this ebb and flow, like I feel it, I don't feel it, I'm here, I'm not there, you know, like,
right.
Yeah. So it's a process. It's a journey. It's not like
a journey to
that destination.
Yeah, you're holding space for their own journey to go there.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, even if somebody is working with me and they don't come out feeling like, oh, you know, I stopped feeling my pain, or I got to a place of peace,
mm-hmm.
and I know at least I'm planting some seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people will come back, or I'll see them, you know, in town, and they'll say, oh, you know what, I eventually started practicing that thing that you told me about, and now I feel pretty good. So sometimes you just don't know what's gone on with the person's journey, because they just didn't tell you, or you didn't see them, or, you know, I'm hoping somewhere that planting these seeds, and that they'll just reverberate, and hopefully they'll teach their family members, and then it'll just keep it expanding.
Most definitely. I have the same hope.
Yeah, because you know it's up to you, and you're just hoping, just even your presence, right? Around.
Exactly. That's what I always say. I'm like, when I get in that mode of I'm not doing enough, or sometimes I'm like, what if what I do, it doesn't even matter? You know, when I get in this, I want to change the world mindset. I'm like, just being me is enough. My presence, hopefully, you know, it affects somebody in a good way and made them feel better, or whatever it did. I have no control over that, but just my presence alone is enough. And I always, that's my like mantra lately. I have to remind myself of that.
That's nice. Yeah, that aspect of contentment and just mm-hmm. being in this space and spreading that is, you're just being there and holding space for not only yourself, but everybody around you. Yeah, very cool.
Well, thank you so much. It was a pleasure chatting with you, and I'm happy I got to know you a little bit more on a deeper level. Yeah, I'll stop the recording now.
Okay.